Sunday after Trinity. Today is actually Vocation Sunday, and we're going to be thinking about what God wants for us in our lives and what we do for Him in our lives. And our theme is going forward. Let me begin with a prayer. Lord, as we come together this morning to worship, help us to believe that we are all ordinary people made extraordinary through your vision and your power. Take our insecurities and feelings of inadequacy and give us the courage to see ourselves and others as you see us, with gifts and potential to transform your world and build your kingdom. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated as we come to the words of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Listen to the first reading.
The first reading is from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. And the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them. All of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clubbed their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth, as the Egyptians fled before it. The Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. This is the first reading. Should I forgive him as many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but, I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, crying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused, and then went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Sustainer and our Redeemer. Amen. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. These are the words that preceded today's reading, when God was saying to Moses, "Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the Israelites may go into the sea on dry ground." One of the unique experiences, I'm told, of our culture today is the innovation of the escape room. Has anybody participated in an escape room experience? Does anybody know what it is? Basically, you pay money to be locked in a room for an hour with either friends or with strangers. You're given clues and puzzles that will help you find a way to escape, and you're challenged to unlock the way to your collective freedom. The puzzles are designed to be solved by putting heads together, everybody bringing their gifts together for the success of the escape. And in some businesses, they're the kind of go-to team building exercises that are being done in these days. Once the puzzle is unlocked, the doorway is opened and all are granted release. I don't think it's a game for the claustrophobic or the anxious or the faint-hearted. It's a venture that requires patience and focus and a great deal of trust of those around you. In our scripture today, we are reminded of the story of our ancestors, the Israelites, who were slaves, who were locked up in Egypt, being led out of that land towards the Red Sea. And a man named Moses was shepherding them forward according to the voice of God. These Israelites do not know Moses. They had no idea why he was doing what he was. He had been hiding in the hills after he had killed an Egyptian slave master, one of his fellow countrymen. All of a sudden, he declares he's Jewish and that God has called him to lead the people to a new place, a place of promise, a place of blessing, a place where they can know and be in the presence of God. And they go. They put their trust in God and in Moses as God's mouthpiece. God had put a call on Moses' life. Today is Vocation Sunday, when we think of God speaking to us too, perhaps not out of a burning bush as he did to Moses, but with God anything is possible and miracles still happen even today. What does vocation mean? It means what you are called by God to be and to do. It's a specific calling to ministry for some, but vocation is more than being called to ordained ministry. Although, as a church, we do need more people with this calling, it also means serving God through faithful discipleship in our everyday lives. God calls each of us to different tasks. There has to be an element of trust in God to do this, to trust that God is good. And as we prayed last week for the fulfilling of our desires and petitions as you see best for us, trust in God. And to trust in the people around us who God may be using to do something new in our lives. I know for me the route to ministry began with sitting and doing some exams with my father, who needed moral support when I was 17. And without that, I may not be standing here before you. But God used somebody else and their calling to bring me into ministry, because I would have ran the opposite direction. God knew me very well. We are all invited to move forward. It's hard to move forward when we don't have an end in sight, when we don't know where we're going, to rely only on the providence of God. It's perhaps the hardest thing that God asks us to do, because we more than anything else in this world fear not knowing what comes next. Of course, even the Israelites' trust falters. They were there. They even saw miracles before their very eyes. After they are led through the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, they take 40 long years to make what would have been a 2-week pilgrimage from Egypt to the Jordan. And we think our journey can be slow. And risk-taking is part of what it means to live in the Spirit, to be born into the Spirit. Jesus, as we have talked about over the last months, never promises us a risk-free, surprise-free life. Just the opposite. What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? It is like the wind. You don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. The Holy Spirit is the unexpected, unpredictable, unplanned force in the entire universe. The Holy Spirit is like the wind in the sails of a ship that sweeps us up into the waves on the adventure of our lives. When our life, our church, is anointed with the Holy Spirit, reborn in the Holy Spirit of Jesus, our life will never be the same. When we surrender our will to the amazing and exciting will of God, we allow ourselves to embark on the most dynamic and exciting adventure of our entire life. Knowing where you are is where God wants you to be. There is no more peaceful place than that. When you step forward and ride the waves of the Spirit, you walk forward in faith, taking a risk that God is going to deliver you into a new and exciting place in your mission and in your ministry, because we all have one as God's children, and God will make miracles with you in this world. The Exodus story is a birthing story. This story birthed the beginning of a people devoted to God and God's mission in the world. And like the Israelites, once you realize it, once you embark on that mission with God, your life will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. Before God could make that miracle for them and for us, before God could lead the people into a new place of community and love and peace and mission to the world, God's people would have to make a decision to trust God enough to step forward even before they knew what was going to happen next. For the Israelites, there were no street lights. There were no candles, there were no lighting lanterns. It was pitch dark. Dark black water in front of them. And the courage to step forward into the light and to follow it where God was leading them, step by step, was the challenge. But by taking those steps, they were stepping into the light of God. God was with them. He was giving them his presence. And for those who are looking for enlightenment, God in Jesus is the only place to receive it. Otherwise, you're going in the wrong direction. Can we trust God to be our headlights in the dark or in the fog? Our lantern in the night, our torch in the darkness. That's the way God asks us to move forward on our journey, in trust. And Jesus is the door, and he holds the keys to God's kingdom in our midst. It's all about growing his kingdom. That is our calling. And God is waiting to do miracles in our lives and in the life of this church. God is waiting for us to trust him enough to step forward in faith into a future that has not yet been revealed. He is waiting for us to put our lives into Jesus' hands, trusting that the Holy Spirit will lift us up and will reveal a way and bring us to a new place where we will find his blessings and miracles, ones that we have never dreamed could happen. So God is waiting to make miracles in your life and in your church. Blessed be God, day by day. Amen. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And the collect for today. Almighty God, whose only Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence, give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And we join together in the morning collect. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Heavenly God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger. And in all things, guide us to know and to do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And as we continue on in our prayers, the response to the words, Lord, you open the door, is help us to work for your glory. Almighty God, come down, come amongst us. You enter our lives, you open our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer, a prayer for your church, your world, and our place in it. Even if we feel we are not prepared for your call, we know you can and will draw near and transform our fears and doubts with purpose and with light. Lord, you open the door. Help us to work for your glory. O Lord of the living world, you approach all who are lost, those who are isolated, those who are lonely, those who turn from you and those who choose another path. Shine your mercy upon them. Embrace them and draw out their gifts and their potential. Unite all of us as your loving family, your living body. Help us to come out into the light. Lord, you open the door. Help us to work for your glory. Lord of the dawn, help us to realize our place and our discernment and our uniqueness. Every one of us a stitch in your mighty tapestry. Help those who are struggling to find work or to be part of a team. Illuminate their paths, their potential, and bring them to you. Lord of all summoning, bring all creative hearts, pastoral workers, artists, youth workers, teachers, all the gifts together as a team and as a family to work towards the glory of your kingdom. Lord, you open the door. Help us to work in your glory. We pray for those who are ill in hospital or going through tests and times of treatments or surgeries. We pray for all those in care homes. We pray for their families as they can't visit as they would wish in these times. We give thanks for the people who care for our loved ones. Guide us, Lord, in our caring for one another so that the helping, loving hand we hold out in times of pain is offered with your love. Lord Jesus, you commanded us to love one another as you love us. Help us too as we seek to understand and love to those filled with fear or driven by anger. Give us the guidance we need on our journey of forgiveness as we also learn to accept the forgiveness you breathe over us. Lord, you open the door. Help us to work for your glory. Lord of all nations, as you call, mold and plant us to be your church. We pray for all leaders. We pray for Paul, our bishop, and all leaders that they may be strengthened to play their part in the healing of a bruised humanity the world over. Unite your children. We pray that there might be an end to war, corruption, poverty, and injustice, and help us to play our part, sharing your light in the world. Lord, we bring our own prayers before you now for our families and friends and those things that are upon our hearts at this time. Community. meeting here, we pray for our Easter General Vestry, or our AGM, which is on this Tuesday night. Lord, we pray for people to come along and want to be involved. It's a free meeting for all to come to. And let us look towards the way you want to guide us in the future in this place for your kingdom. We think of those who are bereaved in this week. We pray for the Bear family, Reverend Stellick, on the loss of Bobby in the past week. We pray for those, and we remember with thankfulness those who have gone before us. We remember Pat Lake, whose third anniversary is in the coming days on Tuesday, and others known to ourselves. And we thank you for our young people who received exam results in this past week and are receiving CAOs as well. And we just pray for your continued guidance in their lives. And we thank you for all who have brought them to this point, their teachers and their families, especially their parents. As we each, in our different ways, seek to live out the call you have laid upon our lives, help us to do that faithfully and with courage. Our lives are yours, great Lord of heaven. Lord, you open the door. Help us to work for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Can we hum together our closing hymn? Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Sunday week is our Harvest Thanksgiving service, which you'll see on your sheets. And our special preacher we look forward to inviting thee and meeting with the retired Archbishop of Armagh, Bishop Richard Clark, who's coming to share with us. On the day, I guess, those who are coming to church on a regular basis do come on time, so you can get in the church, and we'll need help to put the marquee up outside to accommodate others. In these days, we have to go with COVID regulations and all of those things. So in school, we're going to have a Harvest Thanksgiving service with the children and the school community, because unfortunately, we can't do as we normally would do and have us all together, which goes against our unity, but for the safety of everybody, this is how we have to do it. And if you'd like to join me for the end and the stand as we end our service together. The Lord be with you. Let us bless the Lord. To God, who by the power at work within us is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.